We're going to pick up now at verse 12, where I left off, because I want to, as I started to do, talk about one of the words there. Kuma Adonai El Nasa. You see, rise up, Lord. God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the poor. That's that line. For verse 12. Rise up. As I already pointed out, this rising up, that's the word we use in Hebrew, like Christ is risen. HaMashiach kum. Ve'emet kum. He's truly risen. And so, rise up, Lord. Lift up your hand. Do not forget the poor. God won't forget them, but we will, unless we listen to Him and share His concerns, you see. And so then, to move on to verse 13, why should the wicked scorn God, saying in their hearts, God does not care, okay? And then 14, but you do see. You take note of misery and sorrow. You take the matter in hand. To you, the helpless. I guess my translation, I'll have to just look at the Hebrew text for a minute. That's 14. To you, the helpless, can entrust their cause. You are the defender of orphans. Think about this for a while. Do you understand that this is the foundation for St. Teresa's whole spirituality? I rely on you, God, for everything. She speaks of it as spiritual childhood, but it could also be described as spiritual poverty. I don't have anything. It's all yours. And so, why should the wicked scorn God and say in their hearts, God does not care? We don't hear a lot about that in this culture. It's more Mediterraneans who are more blunt and more aware. God doesn't care. And though they rob the poor. Break the arm of the wicked and depraved. Make them account for their crimes. Let none of them survive. That's a prayer for vengeance. We would pray it a slightly different way, but we are saying the same thing. Lord, stop them from crushing the poor. Walk down into any inner city where people are paying too much for rent. They don't have good clothes. Some of them have only part-time jobs. Lord, move our hearts to change that. You see? And break the arm of the wicked and depraved. You know, these people with millions of dollars who are extorting those in the slums. The Lord is King forever. And that's the next line, you see? The Lord is King forever. Or the Lord is the eternal King. The nations have vanished from his land. The nations are the goyim, and not the Jews, of course. I'm trying to see if they use the word goyim there. Yes, goyim. Avdu goyim ma'aso, from his land. It's his land. You see? And then, the Lord is King forever. You listen, Lord, to the needs of the poor. You strengthen their heart and incline your ear. You win justice for the orphan and oppressed. Let no one on earth cause terror again. This is pleading for the care of the poor. It's a mysterious thing. There are poor who are peaceful. trusting God and in need. And like Mary and Joseph, though they probably had a little bit more than, you know, they weren't flat broke, but they were poor. This psalm, you see, is a messianic psalm. It's saying, Lord, come, live among us, and do something about this. And that's the point of the psalm. You win justice for the orphaned and oppressed. No one on earth will cause terror again, is the way that that is translated by the NAD, which is good enough. There will be no one anymore. That would be wonderful. But that's only going to happen with a change of heart. We can change the laws. We can tax the rich and pay the poor. Some of that is just winning their favor for the next election. It's not really caring for them. And the poor are willing to take it. They know it's just buying them off or buying their vote. But they have to feed their kids. And if that's the only ones who come to their help, well, they'll follow along. But massive, trying to take care of thousands without any personal regard. You see, that's wrong. I don't know why this comes to me, but it's an instance of that. There was a woman, I think her name was Agnesi, but I've forgotten now, young. She had a baby, just had the baby, and she had TB. Well, TB back then in Rome, the son was in Rome. In those days, that was a death sentence. They didn't have the medicine to care for it. So her husband would hold the baby at the hospital door, and that's all she saw of her baby. She never nursed it. She never held it, because they didn't want the baby to get TB. And finally, she died. And I had been visiting her in the hospital and seeing the husband, and I think I met the sister once or twice. Now she's laid out on the bed in her sister's house. She's dead. And I go to visit, and I'm praying. And I think the woman's name was Elena, but I forgot. She said to me, Padre, perché? That's the way the poor talk. Father, why? My little sister, she had a baby. Why does she get sick? Why does she die? What is her husband going to do now? Taking care of a baby, trying to find a job? Perché? Why? And I looked at her, and I said, Elena, listen, you're older than I am, and you've suffered more than I have. I can't give you an answer. I really can't. I can just tell you that somehow God is in charge of this, and he knows what he's doing, and as hard as it is, we can trust him. That's all I could tell her. And she looked at me, and she said, grazie, padre. That's a satisfactory answer, because I'm poor enough to know that I'm not in charge of the world, and I'm not angry about that. You see, that's what this psalm is saying here, you see. Let no one on earth cause terror again. When you're rich and powerful, oh my goodness, I mean, we read in the paper these multi-billion dollar deals being made among the rich and powerful. And three blocks away, there's these women like Elena, you know. When are we going to catch on? You see? Now, it's not anger. I can tell you that's a great temptation. I experienced it myself. When my father came back from trying to calm a strike in one of the factories of the company for whom he worked. And he was sitting at the table trying to describe, it's a small town, the only factory. The one guy called a strike. They didn't have any salary. The grocery stores were going broke. They were going hungry. And he's still striking power. And I mean, he's a small-time crook. I mean, he's not a big shot. Power. Finally, there was a resolution. And after all that suffering, the resolution was there'd be a new John for women in the factory. That's all they got. And I thought, this is awful. I am going to change that. And I got so angry, and that anger drove me for a couple of years. I'm going to get to be an efficiency engineer and an economic theorist, and I am going to change that. And I was on that tack when the Lord showed me how ineffectual that is, and that just is feeding pride. I am helping the poor. I am doing well. I am a savior. Not, let me serve you. You are Christ. That's the way the saints did it. And believe me, I was no saint as I was getting ready to do that. But our professor took as a model, I think I've mentioned this before, a town where, as it working on the ore boats in the Great Lakes, I had been to that town a lot. And the anger, the violence, the competing between the oil men and the boatmen, I mean the steel men and the boatmen, and the factory men, was awful. Awful. And I felt that. And so we got halfway through that course, and our professor said, now we're going to look at a city in which all this theory was put into place. I was very interested. And then he said, Gary, Indiana. I have nothing against Gary, Indiana. It might be a wonderful place now, I don't know. When I heard those words, the whole tinsel of that kind of social action just hit me in the face. I said, I'm in the wrong business. I'm going to go back and do what the Lord told me to do since I was 5 years old. I'm going to be a priest. But I saw that that's the best they can do. So you see, this man is praying not for some, industrial or financial revolution. He's praying for God to step in and let there be love and care and gratitude and brotherhood and fraternity. Let there be real care and real love and the rich and the poor. And that's what this psalm is all about, you see. You win justice for the orphan and the oppressed. No one on earth will cause terror again. If we could only get there, my friends. That's a question of love and generosity. And for some, direct contact, direct action, direct living with the poor. I was going to do that too at one time. I was already in the monastery, but for a renewal, I was going to live at 333, I think it was, East 103rd Street in Harlem. No, in Harlem, yeah. The worst building in the worst block in the city. I was going to live there and pray and see if that didn't do any good. But I didn't get permission, so I didn't do it. But it's this cry of the poor and this psalm which puts words to it for us. Amen.